The Holy Bible in its original order. Why was this Bible written, and why do we have a new translation? Well, there are many reasons for it, but first of all, today people are sick and tired of lying businessmen, lying politicians, and lying religionists. So the Holy Bible in its original order, a New English translation, a faithful version with commentary, is a return to the original teachings of the Bible, Old and New Testament. Now God says in Jeremiah 23, so let's turn there. Jeremiah 23. And it's awfully hard for people to sort out what is right and wrong and what is true and what is not true. This is why people go from church to church trying to find the truth. Because somehow they understand that there's got to be truth. They understand that there's got to be God who has purpose. But they don't know where to find him. They don't know where to go. They don't know what Bible to trust because too many of the modern translations have changed the meaning of the Bible in such a way that it completely changes the intended original that God inspired. Let's come here to Jeremiah 23. And here is what Jeremiah was inspired by God to tell the people in Judea and Jerusalem concerning the situation of how the land is, and what is happening today has been prophesied in these words. Now let's come here beginning in verse 10. And as we go through and read these words, I want you to think about the world. I want you to think about where you live. I want you to think about your religion if you have one, whether it be Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu. And if that's the case, and if you're an immigrant, I want you to think about your home country where you came from and why you came and why you're here. And what has happened? We're in a very unusual time when the whole world is being deceived and liars are lying out of both sides of their mouth and being deceived even more. So here's how Jeremiah looked at it. Let's go back to verse 9 instead of verse 10. Go up one verse. As for the prophets, my heart is broken within me. My heart within me is broken, says Jeremiah. Because he understood the truth of God, because he was called of God while he was still in the womb. And he was told as a young man, probably about 16 or 18, I'm going to send you as a prophet. You're going to be hated by everyone, but you're going to stand for the truth and you are going to preach my words that I tell you. And so seeing how bad and how evil that they had become in Jerusalem and in Judea, right there at the very temple of God, by the way, and Jeremiah understanding the truth of God. He said, all my bones shake, I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine is overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. And he looked out and he saw the whole society. And we can just apply this to the whole world. For the land is full of adulterers and liars and cheats and kidnappers and things like this. Because of swearing, the land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and they wield power unjustly. Quite a thing. This is exactly what is happening. For both prophet and priest are ungodly. Now, we'll see a little later on that he also includes not only the priests and the prophets, but all of the politicians and princes as well. He says, yea, in my house I have found their evil. Right at the temple. Temple of God built by Solomon, that God chose Solomon to build it. His father David was given the plans directly by God. He gave those to Solomon. They saved up and stored silver and gold and iron and brass and everything for the temple. And when Solomon started out, he was young, he was tender-hearted, and he asked God for wisdom to rule the people rather than riches and wealth. And so God gave him wisdom and riches and wealth, and he became the richest man that the world has ever seen. And in his old age, he turned his back on God and went after false gods. And after several hundred years, you come to this point. So God says, verse 12, so their way shall be to them as slippery ways in the darkness. You can't really nail them down. They shall be driven on and fall in their way, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their judgment. Now, we'll see about this in just a little bit, where God says the time that this would be understood, because we need to understand that the Bible has been given for this age, for this time, just before the return of Christ. That's why when you read in this Bible, why are there so many Bibles in the world, which today is approaching one for every person in the world? There's a reason for that, because God has given a witness through his word to all people. Now, if they don't read the Bible, but one is available, that's not God's fault. He sent it, he caused it to be there. Verse 13, I have seen repulsive things in the prophets of Samaria. Now, if you want to see repulsive things, go on any religious channel and watch these supposed ministers and priests and so forth. Repulsive. They prophesied by Baal. Now, Baal was the sun god. And now's not the time to go into Sunday worship, but there's still a lot of priests of Baal out there. Everyone who has so-called Christian services on Sunday is a priest of Baal, not of God. Now, if you don't like that, take it as a challenge. But that's what God says. And what happens? And they cause my people Israel to go astray. Have our people gone astray? Has this nation lost its way? Has the world lost its way? Absolutely. I've seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. Is that not the current history of ministers and evangelists today? Yes, indeed. They also strengthen the hand of evildoers so that none returns from his evil. They are all of them like Sodom to me, and are inhabitants like Gomorrah. So what do? They take the evil abominations that God condemns and hold it up as progress and light and truth, to where even two homosexual ministers in the Episcopal Church married each other and was sanctioned by the church. So there it is. So if you go to a church and they say, well, everything in the Old Testament has been fulfilled and done away, nonsense. See, you can't make any sense out of the end times unless you understand the prophecies contained in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 minor prophets. And you can't make any sense out about what is right and wrong unless you understand the book of Moses. And so what I'm reading you here is why this Bible has been put together. Verse 15. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them wormwood, and that's bitterness, and make them drink poisonous waters. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has come forth to all the land. Now, a lot of people are trying to figure out, well, who can we blame? What's wrong in the world today? Well, God does not start with the politicians. The politicians are second. And another important thing to understand is this. You can never solve spiritual problems by political means, and that's what the world is trying to do. And then they're trying to bring in religion to kind of back up the politics rather than the truth of God coming from the Bible to tell everyone, including the politicians and all governments, what they need to do to serve the people, to bring peace, to bring happiness, to bring plenty, and all of this that comes from God. But they failed to do it because they preached ungodliness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophet who prophesied to you. They make you vain. They speak a vision from their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. And one of the most obnoxious things you can see on any religious television channel, which where they have so-called Christian preachers, all of them say, the Lord spoke to me. Well, the Lord did not speak to them. If it was a Lord that they worshipped, it is not God. Because there's a counterfeit Jesus, there's a counterfeit Lord. And his name is Satan the devil, the adversary. They still say to those who despise me, people that hate the law of God, people that condemn the law of God, and it comes out of the pulpits. The Lord has said, you shall have peace. Go ahead and do whatever you want. That's okay. And they say to everyone who walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Now, a lot of people don't realize it, but Oprah Winfrey is sponsoring one of the worst satanic New Age prophetesses in the world. And it's built around a false Jesus who came and spoke to this woman. And then she speaks to the people. And Oprah Winfrey promotes this, helps back it. And just to give you one question by a teenager. I'm living with my boyfriend. I have a guilty conscience. Is this sin? Sin? You haven't sinned against me. No, this is not sin. If you feel this is right, go right ahead. Out of their own heart. See, no evil shall come upon you. Well, look at all the broken lives. Look at all the sickness. Look at all the disease. Look at everything. And lest the homosexuals think, well, now we got the laws, the hate crimes. Well, I wonder if the politicians and the judges have enough courage to say that those are unconstitutional, in addition to being against God. So if you want to have freedom of speech to promote your way, we have freedom of speech to promote our way. If you want to condemn us because we believe in heterosexual marriage, as God said, then we can condemn you for your actions according to the Word of God. Now, let's do a test. The test is this. What is the rate of sickness and disease, sexually transmitted and otherwise, among the homosexual community compared to those who have married and have stayed married been faithful to each other. There's no comparison. So God then asked the question, looking down at the earth, because God is not way off someplace. He's close at hand. So he asked the question, for who has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Now, what are you going to do if the word that you get through a wrong translation is an abomination to God? And there are many of them out there. One of the worst, most popular ones is the NIV, the New International Version, put together by scholars who did not believe in God, put there so that they have neuter gender and feminist expressions taking away from God. So he says, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Are you willing to do that? Do you really want God? Where are you going? What are you doing? What is your life? Why do you need this Bible above any other Bible? Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. Who has attended to his word and heard of it? And that is those who handle the word of God. Who has attended to it the way that God intended it to be? So God says, verse 19, always remember this. I don't know how many have seen Shawshank Redemption, but if you watch any television, almost everybody has seen it. And there was this cruel, double-crossing warden of the prison. And he had a favorite sign up on his office wall, which said, the Lord's judgment cometh, and that right soon. And so the moral of the story is that the one who had been put in prison, who was innocent of the charges, worked his way to escape and took with him all the evidence of the corruption of the whole prison set up there and mailed it to the authorities. And when the authorities came to arrest the warden and all of those involved, the warden sat there in his office and he had a pistol in his hand. And just before he committed suicide, it flashed up to that picture on the wall, the Lord's judgment cometh, and that right soon. Same way here. The Lord's judgment is coming. As a matter of fact, we are experiencing it, and it's not done yet. That's why you need this Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order. So God says of these preachers and teachers and translators, behold, the tempest of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a whirling tempest. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he is executed, until he has performed the purposes of his heart. Now notice verse 20, why this applies to us today. This is, even though it's in the time setting of Jeremiah before the fall of Jerusalem in 585 BC, this is a prophecy for the latter days. This is a prophecy for now. This is a prophecy about all of those prophets who say that they prophesy for the Lord and do not, for all of those who say, we are giving you a better translation and do not, but are all serving themselves. God says, in the latter days, you shall understand it perfectly. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Now notice how fair and honest and true that God is. Notice verse 22. This is astounding. But if they had stood in my counsel, even though he didn't send them, even though he hadn't spoken to them, and had caused my people to hear my words. In other words, say to the people, open your Bibles and let's see what God says. Then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. So it shows the responsibility that God holds upon every minister, pastor, teacher, scholar, theologian, translator. Is that the goal and purpose of what you are doing? Are you holding to the truth of God? That's why you need this Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order. Verse 23. Am I a God who is near, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Let me give you something very important to realize. God is as close as your next time you get on your knees and call out to God. I don't know how many saw it on television. I mentioned this on another recent sermon, but it needs to be mentioned twice. There was this young 23-year-old gal in one of these self-serve gas stations where they have things you can go in and buy. You can buy water and snacks and things like this. Here came in 23-year-old black man with his face covered, with a pistol in his hand, and he was going to kill her and take the money. And she started crying out to God. She wasn't even on her knees at that point, crying out to God, "Oh God, help me!" She looked to the young man, 23-year-old, and said, "You're too young to ruin your life. Don't do this. Oh God, help us. Oh God, intervene." They got all of this on the surveillance, showed it on television. And so she got on her knees and started praying. And you know what happened? That 23-year-old came around the counter and she thought, sure enough, she was a goner. But he came back there and got on his knees and started praying with her. He took his pistol. And she thought, I'm a goner. But instead, he took all the bullets out of his pistol and left them there. And then got up and ran home. Did God answer that prayer immediately in time of need? Yes, indeed. And Grandma saw the young man's picture on the news and told him to turn himself in. So he did. Well, I don't know what the judge is going to do. But let me tell you something. If that is not proof that God is near, and if that is not proof that you can pray to God and he will help you out of your troubles, if you repent and you are sincere and you're going to trust in him, I don't know of any other thing that could show that. Verse 24. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I do not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, says the Lord? Where are you going to go to hide from God? Well, you may shake your fist at him, you may be mad at him, and really, I understand why atheists are so much against religion, because when they look at religion and what they're really doing is exposing in a different way what we see here, and they're angry at God because of these men, and they're rejecting God because of these men. Had they been taught the truth, they probably wouldn't be atheists. So God is there. He's filled heaven and earth with what? Everything that he's created. He upholds the whole universe by the word of his power. Now, verse 25. I've heard what the prophets who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. And outside of a few things that they take from the Bible literally, most everything that they preach is a lie. And always remember this. If it's not the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, of what value is it? What if it's 97% true? Well, that's better than 50% true. But if you get to 97% true, why don't you try for 100% true? Let's go on. Notice. They scheme to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell. Each one to his neighbor as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, the sun god. Sunday is his day. I got a very interesting letter from a man who used to work for 800 telephone answering service for Jerry Falwell and for Charles Stanley. And he said that it didn't matter because it was a company that Jerry Falwell and Charles Stanley hired out to answer their 800 phone. And the company that hired these people, it didn't matter who they hired. Didn't matter if they were Christians or atheist or Muslim or whatever, as long as they could speak good, and as long as when they answered the phone, they had the set thing on their teleprompter to say to them. And the whole goal was, when they called in to order some tapes or a book or booklet for whatever price was advertised, or some of them being free, their job was to do what is called an uptick and an add-on to increase the amount of money and things that they would buy. So what they were doing was merchandising people for an advantage. Now, if they called in and wanted a prayer, all they would have to do is just pop up a certain number of set prayers that they would pray with the individual over the phone. All phony. Most of the people calling in thought they were calling in to Gerald Falwell or Charles Stanley, they were talking to those who worked directly for him. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Okay. So how long shall it be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and are prophets of the deceit of their own heart? They scheme to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell, each one to his neighbor as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully, and also teach and translate it faithfully. That's the whole purpose of this Bible. Now you will watch and see what happens, because this is coming. The day of division is here. The day of separation has arrived. What is a chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? It's poof. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? That's what's going to happen. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets who use their tongues and say, he says, when I did not say. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams and tell them, and cause my people to go astray by their lies and their wantonness. Yet I did not send them, nor command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all. This is where we are. And this is a call not only to those who want a Bible that they can trust, but a call to everyone to return to God. And this is a call to everyone who has their hands on the Bible to teach. Do you teach the truth? And are you dedicated to the truth? What is the purpose of what you are doing and why you are doing it if you are not teaching the Word of God? Now continuing, verse 33. When this people or the prophet or priest shall ask you, saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall then say to them, what oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. As for the prophet and the priest and the people who say the oracle of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall you say to each one to his neighbor, and each one to his brother, what has the Lord answered, and what has the Lord spoken? You shall mention the oracle of the Lord no more, for every man's word becomes his own oracle. You have perverted the words of the living God and of the Lord God and the Lord of hosts, our God. That is what has happened. How did they do this? How did this come about? Well, let's come to the next prophet here, Ezekiel. Come to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. And verse 23. Ezekiel 22 and verse 23. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst. It is a conspiracy within the so-called Christian church, and has been for centuries. And the lies have been spoken so long to so many generations that they believe the lies to be true, and they believe the truth to be lies. What do you believe? There is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst, like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They devour souls. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have done violence to my law. We'll talk about the law of God here in just a little bit. And have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. They have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. Now, I want you to focus in on my Sabbaths. They've hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. That's plural. That means the weekly seventh-day Sabbath, which is called Saturday today, they have hid their eyes from it. They all know which day is the seventh day, because those who go to Sunday worship on Sunday know it's the first day of the week. Now, in this Bible, we have an appendix that is called Rome's Challenge to the Protestants, where the Catholics challenge the Protestants and tell them, if you want to go by the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone, why do you keep Sunday? Because the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, teaches the seventh day Sabbath called Saturday. If you want to keep Sunday, you are embracing a day which Rome has established by her own authority. And yet you claim that God has provided this. And so under the auspices of Cardinal Gibbon of Baltimore in 1893, he wrote a series of four public articles that he put in the Catholic Mirror in Baltimore. And every one of those essays was published on Saturday. So you read that. If you you don't have time to get the Bible right now, then go online to cbcg.org, and you can download it right there. And he says that Protestants are embracing lies when they claim they're following God and yet follow the Roman Catholic institution of Sunday. So he tells them, either get on God's side holy or come and rejoin Rome. And if you don't, the Roman Catholic Church in all of its arrogance is going to come upon you in a time that you do not know, and is going to come upon you in a way in which you do not know. And we see it right now. Look at the Anglican Church. Totally devastated by homosexuality, splitting the church. I wonder who started that. But the final result of it is, the Pope just this last week said, oh, all of you Anglicans can come home to Rome. We will let your priests stay married. We will let you keep your communion. And this is the death of the Anglican Church in England, which has been the goal of Rome for over 400 years. And there's another book out you might search, do a Google search for, called All Roads Lead to Rome. So you need to be aware of what has happened. They have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and what has happened? I am profaned among them. Now, verse 27. All you in Washington, D.C., and every capital of all the states of the United States of America, her rulers in her midst are like wolves, tearing the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get unjust gain. And if that doesn't describe exactly what's happening with the government of the United States of America and Washington, D.C., I do not know what does. And her prophets have covered themselves with whitewash, seeing false visions and divining lies unto them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. So God says, the priests, the prophets, the politicians, the rulers, now the people, verse 29. See? And this is why the people are suffering today. And this is why those that really want to find God are having a hard time finding God, because where is God? And who is speaking the truth? And where are you going to find it? That's why you need this Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version with commentary. Notice verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression and committed robbery, and they have troubled the poor and the needy. Yes, with government programs, haven't they? Hasn't improved anybody, has it? The war on poverty created more poverty. Now they want to have health care, it'll create more sickness. See, because they're all liars. It's like Isaiah says, from the sole of the feet to the top of the head, it's filled with wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them who should build up a wall for the land and stand in the breach before me so that I should not destroy it. But I did not find one. Can that one person be you? Are you willing to stand for God? Therefore, I poured out my fury on them. I have burned them up with the fire of my wrath. I have recompensed their own way upon their heads, says the Lord God. When punishment comes and disaster arrives, people say, oh, why? Why did God allow this? It's the wrong question. Why did you lead such sinful lives that God was forced to do this to you? because you would not repent, and you did not seek me. Let's see what one man can do. Come here to Jeremiah, the fifth chapter. Jeremiah 5. Let's see what one man can do. While we're turning there, remember the account of Abraham coming to God when God told Abraham that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And Abraham came to talk to God and said, "Oh, judge of all the earth, what if there are 50 people in Sodom who are righteous? Will you spare the whole city for it?" He said, "Yes, I would." Then he said, "Well, what about 45? "I will." "What about 40? "I will." "What about 30? "I will." "Oh, don't be presumptuous. Let me be presumptuous. What about 20? "I will." "What about 10? "I will say no more. 10. Yes, if there are 10 righteous people, I'll spare it." So don't ever say God is unfair, because God brings upon people their own judgment according to their own sins. Needless to say, he only found 4. Lot, his wife, and 2 daughters, and his wife wasn't too convinced to turn around and to look when they were told, "Don't look back," and she turned to a pillar of salt. Now notice Jeremiah 5. Here's what God told Jeremiah, and by the way, Jeremiah was a priest. He says to Jeremiah, "Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know, and seek in her open places if you can find a man." A man. One man. "If there is one who does justice, who seeks the truth, I will pardon her." Well, that is it. Are you one person to seek the truth? Well, that's what this Bible is dedicated to. Now let's come to the New Testament. We'll see some things here that the prophets in the New Testament have done right within the churches of God. Now, in coming to the New Testament, let's come to the second epistle of Peter. Second epistle of Peter. And let's understand what he says concerning the Word of God. And as I have mentioned before, let's also realize that only 8 men wrote the New Testament. And if God is so impotent that he cannot inspire 8 men to write what he wants, then how could he possibly create the heavens and the earth and control that? So don't come up with the excuse, "Well, men wrote it." God decided to use men to write it, but he made sure they wrote what he wanted. You read what he said to Moses. He said, "Moses, speak to the children of Israel and say, all the prophets, the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Micah, Amos, and so forth." Okay? Now, notice what Peter says. He says here, verse 15, chapter 1, he's writing to the brethren knowing that he was going to die. He says, "But I will make every effort that after my departure you may always have a written remembrance of these things in order to practice them for yourselves." That's why the Word of God. And that's why a proper translation, a truthful translation, a faithful translation is important. Because what it does, it recaptures not only the truth of what God originally gave to the apostles to write, and they wrote it in Greek, and that is called autographs. All copies are called apographs. And translations from that, if it's a faithful translation, will convey the same authority as the originals. That's the whole endeavor of this Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order. But notice, we have it so we can practice the Word of God for ourselves. You can study the Word of God. You can know the Word of God. You can learn the Word of God. You can have a relationship with God the Father in Jesus Christ. You can understand the will of God. You can understand the purpose of your life. All in the Bible, which is clouded because of false teachings, misinterpretations, and bad translations. Let's go to the next track, please.